This podcast contains some strong language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The women in tattooing project show.
This is the Women in Tattooing Project, the podcast where I chat with female tattooers around the world about their art and life as a tattoo artist. Today's interview is from July 5th with Luna Millie. She currently tattoos out of Union Tattoo and Piercing Studio in Victoria, British Columbia. She has an artistic focus on female portraits and floral pieces, primarily in delicate black and gray. In this interview, Luna talks about how she got her foot in the door working at a tattoo shop in Spain, but later was offered an apprenticeship back in Canada if she could prove herself by completing 30 tattoos, showing progress from start to finish. She shares the pros and cons of her apprenticeship, the ways she developed working at a downtown Victoria shop after ending her apprenticeship, and what she values most from her current shop. Most recently, Luna has been vocal in supporting victims of abuse in tattooing during the Me Too movement, which swept through the tattoo scene this spring and summer. As a little background info on this, as a city, Victoria has a lot of progressive activism around First Nations issues, women's rights, LGBTQIA+ equality, and human rights issues in general. When abuse allegations within the tattoo scene started popping up, the city went wild. Someone had set up a social media platform where anyone could out their abuser, which resulted in a lot of people posting and a variety of reactions. One of the hardest parts about victims coming forward can be the backlash created by the abusers when they gaslight, discredit, shame, or threaten legal action against those who have already been hurt. With this in mind, Luna and I tread lightly around the topic. In this interview, Luna explains how she was offering to hear people out privately if they didn't want to come forward publicly or to the authorities, thus allowing people to feel heard by someone in the scene. It seemed as if Luna's offerings were in alignment with a lot of the things she learned from a studio she spent a year working at. Tattoo Zoo is owned by local tattoo and punk rock legend Jerry Kramer and her wife, the Canadian author of multiple amazing vegan cookbooks, Sarah Kramer. This space has for a long time been openly a safe and supportive tattoo shop in downtown Victoria. Luna also shares with us some of the wisdom that she learned from Jerry at her time there. Currently, Luna is living her best life as a tattooer and talks about what it is that makes her feel supported in this industry. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hello, I'm here with Luna Millie, and you can find her at Luna Millie Tattoo on Instagram. We come to you from her lovely home in Victoria, BC. So I have a few questions for you just about how you started and where you see yourself going. So how did you get into tattooing?
Well, it was a total shit show. I really wanted to be a tattooer since I can remember, really. I had a couple apprenticeships. The first one was when I was living in Spain.
Oh, and when was that?
It was like 2016.
Okay, because you lived in Europe for a period of time.
Yeah.
Like a few years.
Yeah.
And in Spain or in multiple locations?
I was in Zurich for a year.
Oh, very cool.
And then Barcelona for a couple of years after that.
And was it in Barcelona where you did your apprenticeship?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. So were you speaking like Catalan or were you speaking English?
Mostly English. And then I would try to learn Spanish, but everybody would just automatically start speaking English to me. So,
oh yeah, that's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been to Quebec, but like if you ever try to speak French to them, they just like, oh no, I know how to speak English.
Like, I'm like, but I was trying. I can't watch you suffer now. Like, let's just change the language.
So what started the Barcelona apprenticeship?
Well, I've been trying to get into tattooing for years before that, but it never really seemed like the right time. Beforehand, like when I lived here as a teenager, I was like, you know, going to the shops with my little shitty portfolio, and I had like maybe a couple of tattoos, and they were all kind of like, yeah, you know, give it some time. Mm-hmm. So I was like 16. But yeah, I kind of like let it go a bit because I had gotten turned down so many times. And then it just happened to be like I moved into this building in Barcelona, and one of my like next door neighbors was a tattooer.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was fortuitous. Super, yeah. And I remember I met him. His name's Oscar. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that guy has a lot of tattoos. He looks cool. And we kind of like talked across the terrace with each other.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And he's like, oh, well, you know what? Like, if you're serious about it, I'll talk to my boss for you. And then he set up a little kind of interview thing. And he just like hired me on the spot. And I was like, cool, this is awesome. I was so excited, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, it just seemed kind of more like they wanted to hire me as like someone to answer the emails in English.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Did you actually end up doing any amount of tattooing on your own, or was it mainly just that kind of helping out around the shop?
Yeah, I was hanging out and like mm-hmm. answering emails, talking to customers. And at the time I was super, super, super broke.
Right,
of course. So I had to like really think hard about if I could afford to do this for mm-hmm. free and like use up all my time on something like that. Mm-hmm. I did my first tattoo at that shop though.
Oh, that's very cool. What did you do?
It was like a little Sailor Jerry butterfly.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. I was so nervous though. Mm. She was like, yeah, you can do whatever you want on me.
Right.
So one of the girls I worked with there.
Okay.
But it was like, what, like anything that I want? Like, you just start simple. Options. But yeah, so it's just like, I'm just gonna trace this Sailor Jerry butterfly and hope for the best.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, super, super scary experience.
Mm-hmm. Why were you in Spain? Do you have family there, or was it just a bucket list place?
Well, when I went to Zurich, my brother lives there.
Oh, very cool.
So I was like working for him as a nanny mm-hmm. and painting, because that's what I did before tattooing.
Of course, yeah. Mm.
So just like painting and hanging out in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Barcelona on like a holiday and I totally fell in love with it.
Of course, it's such a gorgeous place.
And they have so many tattooers there that are like fucking amazing. Yeah. So it was super inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. And not to mention like when you grow up in Canada and then you go somewhere, it's actually warm.
Mm-hmm. So, I know. Wow. Oranges on trees.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. It was like really intriguing to me. And I just kind of packed up all my shit and move there mm-hmm. with, I think I had like 2,000 euros.
Yeah, I've been there. So yeah. By the time you wrapped it up in Barcelona, did you come straight back to Vancouver Island?
I went to Menorca, which is like across from Barcelona.
Okay. I feel like it's one of those places that people like talk about as being one of those amazingly gorgeous places to go. Like you have to go vacation on Menorca Island.
Oh my God, it's one of the most beautiful times of my life.
Oh, awesome.
But I lived with this painter. And yeah, it was just like painting and hanging out and living kind of like a hobo gypsy life. Yeah, and then I went to England for a little while after that.
Oh, very cool. What part of England?
Winchester.
Oh.
Like 40 minutes outside of London on the train, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So the second apprenticeship was on the island, right? In Duncan?
Yes, but it was like the first real apprenticeship really mm-hmm. for me. I met this guy, David Gluck. I don't know mm-hmm. if you've ever heard of him.
Just by name, I don't really know his stuff.
Yeah, he's a super lovely guy, crazy oil painter, so talented.
Mm-hmm. And you do oil, right?
Yeah. I did, at least.
Yeah.
not so much anymore, I wish. I'm just like so impatient now when it comes to painting.
Yeah, it's a very, how to even describe oil? Like it takes so long for all
layers
the processes
and, layers and layers.
Drying. Yeah. And it's like, is it dry yet? No, yeah. Okay.
Totally. So I went to a show of his where he had some of his paintings up and we got to talking and he's like, yeah, like, you know, you should really consider, you know, getting into tattooing. It's great. He's like, tattooing's been the best for me because the art world's like kind of going under right now. All these galleries are going out of business. I was like, yeah, right. Tried that and that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. At the time I was almost considering like, maybe I should just go to hair school or something because it's too hard.
Yeah.
Even though I always really wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm. What was the turning point for you that like reinstilled that fire of wanting to do it?
It was honestly, he went to my mentor, mm-hmm. Albert, and he was just like, you know, you should give her a chance as an apprentice. Mm-hmm. He like went and asked him and didn't even ask me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then he was like, I hope that's okay that I did that. And I was like, it's fucking awesome. I'm so stoked.
That's so great.
I was so happy.
With your apprenticeship in Canada, mm-hmm. were you able to kind of just dive into your own stuff or was it like walk-ins?
So how it started out was my mentor was just like, you get to do 30 tattoos for free on people. And if by the 30th tattoo you haven't gotten better, then you're fired.
Okay.
And
pressure's on.
I buy your machines back off of you uh-huh. and you're done. So I was like, okay, cool. No pressure.
I've literally never heard that. Have you heard that at other places? Or is that just his own?
Kind of does their method. Thing their own way. Because okay. Like, let's just cut the bullshit and like we're gonna okay. get you started right away.
So did you keep those machines? So
yeah, I still 30. Have them. I still have them. So cool. Yeah, they're not like ones that I usually use anymore.
But, like nostalgia.
Yeah, totally.
Sure. So what happened with the 30? Did you feel like you evolved?
So the thing was is that like I think most people kind of frown upon this idea of it, but he was just kind of like, do literally whatever you want.
Wow.
So I did huge, like I started with doing portraits because that's what I was used to doing. I'm like, I'm going to do a fucking lady face.
How did you find that it turned out if you were looking back on it?
Well, like the portraits for some reason turned out better than the simple stuff. So like the little like infinity loops and shit that I should have been doing at the time were janky as fuck.
Oh, that's so interesting, hey?
I didn't know how to pull a line, right? Yeah,
of course.
I guess the biggest part of it for me was he kind of told me that everything that I did was dope. Well, he's like, yeah, nice. Looks great, cool. And I'm like, that clearly looks like a piece of shit. But I'm always like super thankful that he, you know, he gave me a chance. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really enough guidance, mm-hmm. I think.
Where did you feel that you found more guidance? Like, did you have to personally just put the pressure on yourself later on? Or did you ever seek out other people to learn with?
Well, yeah, well, that shop wasn't great for me. Mm-hmm. And they had like a very old school approach. And it was like, you know, I was just working with a couple of dudes. So I ended up leaving not too long into it. And I went to Tattoo Zoo because mm-hmm. I already knew Jerry
right
there. She had hired me in the past.
Does she own Tattoo Zoo?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Her and her wife. I actually worked there when I was 18 as a desk person.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That's so cute. Because the vibe that I always get from them is so warm and welcoming that I would assume that it would be a very supportive work environment.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I couldn't think of like anyone else to talk to except for Jerry because I was like, I'm not ready to, you know, full on work mm-hmm. at a proper shop that I didn't feel comfortable with. I'm like, you know, I need somebody to give me some guidance. Mm-hmm. So Jerry was like, okay, like I'll hire you, but you're going to have to like really tone it down and like do some walk-ins, like mm-hmm. start small.
Mm-hmm. Work no, your more, way up. No more portraits?
No more sleeves. Like, yeah.
Was that what you were doing? Sleeves?
So, yeah.
Wow, that is amazing.
I did my first sleeve, I think, God, probably a couple months in. And
wow.
I look back on some of those and...
Yeah.
But you know, it was free. So, I mean, I told rad. Them, I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing yet. Yeah. So, but Jerry definitely helped me so much.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you find it was about her approach that really worked for you?
She was hard on me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but like in a good way, not in like a...
Like in a motherly kind of way?
Yeah.
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 Like and wants the best for you.
Yes.
Cool.
Wanted the best for me, told me straight up, like without any bullshit, like this looks jacked. Let me print
good
it out.
Good to hear, yeah.
She like would print it out and have like super close up zoomed in and be like, that line right there, like... But she would also tell me, like, the things to change, right? So instead of Albert's approach of just being like, yeah, sweet, looks cool, you're doing great. Yeah. I was like, no, I need you to tell me what's terrible about it.
So what was the best advice that you received?
I think the best thing that Jerry ever told me was to slow the fuck down. I remember, like, I was so nervous when I first got to that shop that I was just fucking rushing through every tattoo because I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing yet. I'm working in a new space. I felt like I had to try to be better than I actually was because I didn't really know what the fuck I was doing yet.
Totally. Yeah.
So yeah, just like relax, just chill out and just.
Yeah, it's almost like when you slow down, you can like, yeah, you can breathe more. You can be more present and maybe notice the smaller details that need more attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's awesome.
Slow down, chill out.
So right now you're at Union.
Yeah.
And how long has it been since you got to Greg's space?
It's been like almost a year already.
Cool.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
And so out of all the environments that you've worked at, what do you find really works for you? Or what would you kind of like dreamscape for yourself for the future?
I'm honestly in it right now. I'm so happy there.
Really? What makes it so good for you?
As bosses, they're very trusting. and they just kind of let us do our thing. Mm-hmm. But they're very helpful. Like, if we ever need anything, they're on it right away, you know?
Awesome.
And they're not greedy. Mm-hmm. Like, they just want all of us to be making as much money as we can, and mm-hmm. they just want everything to go smoothly.
Totally.
Yeah, and it's really not, like, about the money for me. It's about feeling relaxed when I get to work. I feel relaxed. I feel like I'm wanted there. I feel like I'm appreciated. Greg is so fucking talented. It's, like...
True.
Sometimes, like, my eyes get, like, watery when I look at his tattoos when he's like, oh, yeah, check this out. I'm like, ah, it's so beautiful. But, yeah, it's really motivating working yeah. around such, like, talented people. Everybody that works there is, like, crazy good and all sorts
so
of different styles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, like, really awesome. And as mm-hmm. personality-wise, we're all so different yeah. as well.
Well, I was chatting with Ben, who you work with, mm-hmm. About why he does kind of more black and gray. And it's because he's colorblind.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought that was so interesting for a tattooer to be colorblind and then still be in the biz, feeling like just pumping out some great stuff, but mm-hmm. you generally on that kind of grayscale. Do you generally do like black and gray kind of work because you've been pigeonholed into it or because it's something that you really feel like it's your jam, it's your style?
I think it's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. So when I was getting into it, I was like trying to, you know, do a bunch of traditional tattoos in color, and that's like as far as I kind of like went mm-hmm. into the color stuff. Figuring out like nice color palettes has always been like a really challenging thing for me to wrap my brain around. Mm. But that being said, I think black and gray, especially in Victoria, is so popular.
Yeah.
So once you know start doing something that you like doing and then people see it, they're like, oh cool, I want to get that too. And now it's like probably 95% of what I do.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you're open to doing color, but it's just
yeah.
less often.
Yeah. It's cool. Just, I don't get asked for it very much. So. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's probably the benefit and the disadvantage of social media is that, you know, mm. it's what people see is what they ask for generally,
totally.
Right?
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, I know that's how I shop around.
I don't post half the stuff that I do, honestly.
Yeah, I bet.
Not because I don't like it or anything. It's just there's certain, especially trendy things that... Mm-hmm. You post it, then you're like, okay, I'm gonna only do wolves with trees for the next 6 months. Nothing wrong with that, but you know, you get burnt out, so you gotta like, you know, be more choosy about what you post.
Oh yeah,
you put out there.
But you've been open for a bit now, like post COVID.
Yeah.
Like, when did you
yeah.
guys open? Start of the month. Start of June.
Yeah, June 1st.
Cool.
June
and how's 1st. It been like with all the policies and protocols, like? What have been the changes for you guys?
It doesn't really feel that much different.
Yeah, because you're pretty clean anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So it's only really like, you know, wearing a mask and forcing people to wash their hands when they come in, which is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But just like anything, it comes second nature, right?
Well, now we're all doing it. So, yeah. I mean, unless you're like an anti-masker kind of person, totally. Then that would be like, no. But
and
I
nobody's mean, had a hard time with it at all.
Because everyone gets the notice about it ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, if you don't want to do this, you're not going to come
totally.
In.
No, we even have like a phone sterilizer
as
well,
awesome.
Which is like crazy. I didn't even know that they existed.
What does it look like?
It's like this little box, and then you put the person's phone into it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, sanitation in process. This weird robot voice. And then after 10 minutes, it comes out and it's sanitized.
Yeah. Well, I got a tattoo from Emily Stoika at Painted Lotus last week. And she was like, do you want us to sanitize your phone? And I was like, well, I'm going to chat with you the whole time. I don't need my phone out. And she's like, yeah. Okay, then. So I didn't get to see that, but I wish I had
totally.
Now.
Yeah, some people, you know, some people like to use their phones because yeah. it helps them kind of be distracted yeah. from it, which I totally get.
Totally.
I'm so fucking chatty though when I tattoo that like I don't think many people get the chance to look at their phone.
You're like, no. Yeah. They're like, I'm trying to watch a movie.
I don't know if it's like my ADD or something, but like I'm just yeah. like blah 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 blah.
That's awesome. Do you find that it kind of like helps you flow through the tattoo as well, like if you're chatting?
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, sometimes it's not as easy, like everybody's different.
Oh yeah. And some people are like uncomfortable when you want to chat with them as well, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, maybe I should just shut up now.
So in terms of like the style that you've got right now, are there any styles or aspirations that you have in terms of like pieces that you want to do or styles that you would like to kind of delve into in the future?
I've just been really enjoying what I've been doing, honestly. I'm getting to do a lot more lady faces, which I'm really stoked on.
Cool.
It's just always my favorite thing to tattoo. Mm-hmm. Black and gray, The thing that I like about the style that I'm doing right now with the kind of like little stipply stuff is it heals so good.
Yeah, that's why I wanted you to work on my knee, because I was like, I feel like this will be okay.
It, seriously, like under a week is what I, because I check in with people. I'm like, mm-hmm. So how's the healing? Like, it's already done.
Are you like an opsite, like second skin, or I think there's a million names, like Tegaderm kind of person, or are you just like a gauze and like let it
The shop that I started at used it. Mm-hmm. On everything. Oh, so I've seen a lot of people where it comes back looking amazing, mm-hmm. and a lot of people come back with a rash. So
yeah, I get both. I get like a very nicely healed tattoo, and then around it is a weird rash, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I don't really know why that is. I think maybe if you have
sticky adhesive.
Sensitive, mm-hmm. sensitive skin. Plus, like, you probably got shaved as well, so you're just like, you got all your pores are open.
The irritation station.
Yeah. But I didn't like the rash situation, and people were complaining that it's like kind of painful to take off.
Yeah, it can be.
So I just do it, you know, the old
fashioned, way. Yeah,
meat soakers and
yeah, totally
some Saran wrap and call it a day.
Yeah, I always love that look. Awesome. So you've got sort of like a social media theme going on where you've got this like boss babe, like biker energy going on there. When did that start? Like, cause your boyfriend, like, does he like build bikes?
Yeah, he builds. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Was it like pre relationship that you got into that, or was the love of
my ex-boyfriend also rode motorcycles? And that was kind of like the first time that I ever kind of got into that stuff. I was really terrified at first to go on the back, and then I was like, wow, this is like the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah.
And then being with Avi, it's more like watching him kind of create his own art.
Cool.
Out of it. Because mm-hmm. he's not like an artistic person, but it, mechanically, for sure. Mm-hmm. He has those like old crazy paint jobs and stuff too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then I met my friend Fatima. She mm-hmm. owns Midnight Cobras.
Oh.
It's just like a clothing company.
Biker clothing or what?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, she like started out kind of like selling more like vintage Harley Davidson stuff.
Sweet. And it's on the island, but we're like in Victoria proper. Cool.
And her husband works at Harley, and he builds bikes as well. We kind of connected like as like a couples thing.
That's so cute.
And I do photos with her. She does, she takes pictures of me wearing her clothes and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And I've done some designs for her. Mm-hmm. So, it's like nice to have friends with common interests that are not to do with tattooing sometimes.
I feel like there is a lot of overlap still with like the biker and like tattooing community still, right? Yeah. Are there any expos that have both going on?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
But I know that there's like some motorcycle fests that have tattooers sometimes.
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do many expos?
No, never.
Has it, like, been on the radar at all, or is it not really...
I was planning to go to one.
Yeah.
In, like, August. My coworkers were like, yeah, we're going to do it. You should come. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mostly just wanted to go to, like socialize more than anything.
Oh, totally. I mean,
meet some people.
That's what it seems like. There's a lot of tattooers will go to see their old friends, you know, and connect, as well as exposure, but... It seems like exposure is now a lot more through social media rather than like going to the conventions, but it's like serving the people who wouldn't go travel to them to get the tattoos.
But definitely like when the world goes back to normal.
Yeah, totally.
I would love to experience
check
that.
It out. Yeah.
But right now it's like, I don't even know when I can travel again.
I know. So weird.
It's a bummer.
I know.
A lot of people are bummed about a lot of things right now though.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So a while back, I saw that you were posting that you were trying out for the cover of, was it?
Inked Magazine.
Inked Magazine. Was Inked Magazine. What was that process like? I've always wondered about that. Like, you have to get people to vote for you.
And... My friend told me that I should do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's really cringy. I don't know. And then she's like, but fuck it. Like, it could be cool if you did. And I'm like, I don't know. There's so many people doing it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was no harm in just, like, posting a couple of sassy pics and seeing what happens.
What was your feedback in general?
A lot of people were really, really supportive of it. And then Avi's parents were super like, well, they're super kind of conservative Jewish family.
Yeah.
So I think they were kind of like, you know,
what is she doing?
Like, wow. But I'm like, look at me.
Come on.
Shithead already. So, but yeah, that was like an interesting experience for me. because I've never really shared stuff like that before. It didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
But I wasn't bummed either. So
yeah, like how many people are trying out, right?
I was kind of relieved, to be honest. I was like, okay, I'm just going to give up on this now. And then that's it.
Yeah, there's like a part of me that's like, oh, it'd be really fun to do like those photo shoots. And the other part of me is like, oh, I know how awkward I would be in a photo shoot like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because if you just imagine like being in wherever their headquarters is, and then you have to like, you know, pose in front of all these people doing the cover shot.
It's like one thing to do like a boudoir shoot or something like that.
Yeah.
Like one-on-one, but like something like that. I don't know if
For some people, it is the coolest thing ever. They're like, yes, photograph me. I'm having so much fun. And look at the cool poses I can do. But yeah. I'm just like, not for me. Anyway, so I was wondering what sort of challenges you may have come up against in the tattoo scene, like as a woman.
Depending on where you are in the world, I think Victoria, we're super lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Because being a female tattooer here is like pretty normal. But even just like up island a bit, it gets like really like old school. You know, comes with a lot of like misogyny and racism and just like shit that you're like, what? Like, how is this still going on? And I think it's really ingrained in people's heads that get into tattooing that they're like, I had to work so fucking hard for this. And, you know, you have to pay your dues and do all this stuff. But it's like the world is changing so rapidly that I feel like it should be a little bit more up to date.
Yeah. And there's probably a lot of, if someone else that I'm, you know, apprenticing with or working with, or he's my boss, is making a joke, then like just go along with it, because if you laugh, it's easier.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. No, that's kind of how I was brought into it too, right?
Yeah.
And then starting at Tattoo Zoo, they're very like lovely people, also very PC. So I like had to really adjust.
Oh, interesting.
Myself.
What were your shifts?
Just saying crude things. I don't know. I just like would just like say whatever was on my mind.
Yeah.
And as Jerry put it, that I will never forget, read the room. And I was like, solid.
How old were you when you started there?
I was like 22.
Yeah. That's a pretty like...
It wasn't that long ago, to be honest. So I've done a lot of work on myself since then, though.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Early 20s can be a very educational year for those things. but yeah, I wanted to kind of get into the vocalization that you've been sharing recently about sort of like the Me Too movement, just being an advocate for safe spaces in tattooing.
I think it's having a space where they can anonymously share stuff without feeling like they're going to get attacked for it.
Yeah.
It's still something that I'm trying to figure out my approach with, but it's also like when you're in the industry and you have to sometimes be around those people, it's kind of knowing how to go about that stuff.
Yeah.
But when you've had experiences yourself with similar things, and then you kind of, you know, put it under the rug, and then people are coming out with similar or even worse stories.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, I feel like as somebody that's in this industry, I should be doing something about this. Because I'm just really, honestly, I'm fucking tired of hearing about it.
Absolutely.
It's bullshit. It's just, people should never feel unsafe or uncomfortable, like in any kind of way, if they're getting tattooed. It's a really vulnerable position to be in, you know?
And like even just getting tattoos, you know, like there's been some experiences that have been unsavory.
Totally.
And it fucking sucks because you think about that when you look at the tattoo.
Yeah.
It's a part of my body now, you know?
Yeah, it's permanent.
Yeah, totally. Oh, there was a woman in Australia who's been super vocal against, you know, men in the industry who were just doing bullshit things to women.
Yeah.
And she was trying to, you know, bring, like, call him out, basically. And now he's got some legal action against her. And it's just crazy. But, I mean, thank goodness for people like yourself and other women who are saying, like, no, we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
So what did you find? Like, what was your end goal with that? Was it just, like, to create conversation?
Yeah.
What was it that you were doing? Like, you were just, like, posting, like, I'm here for you if you need to talk? What was it?
Yeah, so I opened that conversation just being, like, you can trust me with your information. And I'm not going to tell – I won't even tell anybody about it if you don't want me to because, you know – if you have a specific story, even they can take that and be like, oh, well, it's obviously that girl, right?
Of course.
So I think just the fact that you can talk to somebody is a good, you know, foot in the door to like talk to more people or like get therapy or, you know, anything like that. Because my experience, I only talked to like the guy that I was dating at the time and my closest friends, right? So I've been also dealing with at the same time talking about my own experience and how that has really kind of helped me in myself. And I tattoo probably 98% women.
Yeah. I mean, and you do have a very feminine style.
I do, yeah. I do. And it's honestly been so amazing for me to hear these stories. Not all like bad stories, of course.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a part-time therapist, basically.
Yeah,
I listen,
totally.
I hear a lot of crazy things, and a lot of people, I don't know why, but they just feel like they can vent to me.
Oh, I don't know. The shit that comes out of my mouth when I'm getting a tattoo, I'm like, they really hurt at all.
I love it. I love it. I get so much more from it when I have those kind of conversations with people than if I was just to, you know, make a tattoo and take their money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've learned a lot from my clients, and I feel like in being in this industry and providing a safe place as well, without being a little preachy about having a safe place.
It just is.
I'm just not going to make you feel weird.
Like, how about that?
Yeah. It's been really beneficial for me as well. Like, I get a lot from it. Not what I expected when I was getting into it. I was like, cool, I get to be a cool tattoo person and make art on people, but it's so much more than that, you know. And I think you have to really have the right personality for it too.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people that are still working and they're treating their clients like shit.
They're like, why is my canvas talking right now?
Yeah, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. So moving forward, how do you think, like, other than you were just saying, like, you're just going to be that safe space. You're not going to like make a big deal about it. But like, do you see that there's going to be a trend or something? Like Tiny Miss Becca, when I was chatting with her, she, or separately after the interview, she was saying like, you know, maybe we need a governing body for tattooing. Like, what do you think a good solution is for accountability?
Another props to Tattoo Zoo is that they have been probably the first tattoo shop that I've known about that's a safe place. Like, they actually claim to be a safe place.
Totally.
To make it, you know, they
on
have
on everything.
They go above and beyond to make sure that everybody feels really safe and comfortable. And I learned a lot from that. A lot.
I mean, I've always just been so stoked to see them in all the pride parades. They definitely just give off a very open vibe, you know, like
totally.
So accepting and positive.
Yeah, definitely. They're like a little family. So
so cute.
Yeah, it was good. Good times.
Oh, just like a silly question. What's like being a tattoo on yourself? Something that you've received that you learned a lot about tattooing from?
As I look down at myself, I got both my ribs done by Nelson at Goldstream.
Oh,
he's fucking amazing.
Okay,
so good.
Check him out.
So good, like really traditional, very bold, but like the most clean lines that you'll ever see. And he's always kind of giving me little like tips and stuff like that while I'm getting tattooed. Fuck, did they ever hurt?
Of
like
course, yeah.
so bad. But watching him and his like even just like setting up and stuff, learned a lot.
Has that changed for you over the years, like how you set up? Like, what were you just saying with Janine when I got here about, like, when you learned you weren't allowed to use
a rinse cup?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, everybody does their things differently, right? I mean, my mentor had been tattooing for over 20 years.
Right.
So he was very stuck in his ways.
Yeah, totally.
But then he was, like, using a rotary for everything. So that was confusing. So I learned on a rotary machine. I don't know if you know the difference between rotary and coil. So simply put, to a non-tattooer, coil machines are like the really loud ones.
Yes.
That you're like, you can hear it down the street. And rotary is like the really quiet, kind of like, you know, those pens and the, you know, the quiet ones.
Totally.
You can hear the difference.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's kind of like driving automatic versus stick. I like to put it like that.
And you like coil better?
Not necessarily.
Mm. Depends on like what you're trying to, like the techniques or...
I think everybody has their different, you know, style that they're going for or whatever.
Different machine for different days.
But I feel like I shouldn't have learned on rotary.
Oh, why's that?
It's just too light.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Huh.
But like coil machines, I mean, you have to like, you have to tune them. You have to take them apart and like fiddle with them. And it's like the traditional way of tattooing, right? Mm-hmm.
And is that something that you know how to do or do you send it to someone?
Jerry actually got me my first coil machine in a build it yourself kit.
Okay.
From Sesafari.
She's like, have fun with this.
Yeah, but she sat down and was like showing me how all the little bits go together. We built two separately together.
Mm-hmm.
Did I retain that information? Not entirely. Not entirely.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to watch to see how everything works.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
And so now do you get someone else to tune it up or do you...
I don't use my coil machine anymore.
Oh, okay.
I did for a long time and it like really helped me a lot.
Yeah.
And when I, so when I went to Union, I was like the only one in the shop using a coil machine. So I was like in the back, just like, and everybody else was
like,
using,
that's Luna.
Everybody else was using the pen.
How long did it take you to transition?
They bought me a Zion pen thing.
Nice.
And at first I was like, I'm not used to this, you know, you're using the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been so awesome.
Right.
I really like it now.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very convenient. The cartridges, you just like take the tip out and change it.
Yes, I've seen this.
Yeah.
I've observed this while I'm
it's awesome.
Mid tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Are there any other kind of like things within your day or like routine that you're kind of thinking of shifting at this point, or is everything feeling like it's working pretty well for you? You've got like a good system.
Everything's working pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I've made, you know, adjustments here and there over the past couple of years, but I'm always open to things to make my job easier, like buying an iPad. I bought one shortly after I got to Tattoo Zoo because everybody was using them there.
Of course, yeah.
So I just felt like I'm like so out of the loop on this stuff.
Yeah.
But that made my job so much easier.
I bet, yeah.
Because like if someone's like, you know what, actually, that leaf right there, not feeling it. You just erase it, done. Print it out again. Blow it up if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So much easier.
Do you find most of your clients are pretty chill with whatever you've come up with? Or do you find like you've got some finicky people?
Lately, everyone's been so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why. I'm trying not to jinx it.
Yeah.
But everybody's been super lovely. And clients that like come back for more stuff. And I haven't had very many people being a pain in my ass. So...
That's awesome.
But I always kind of expect it, right? So I'm like, sometimes I do a couple of different options. If it's a small thing that I can do that. But mostly it's like, if you see somebody's style that you like, you know what it's going to look like. Just give them as many reference pictures or whatever to make it easier.
Yeah, and that's basically your process. It's like, get photos of the area and then reference photos. Yeah. And like, that's, yeah. Anything else like in terms of your process that you find helps?
I'm probably the worst
when
it comes to the pre-tattooing somebody, because I do mostly consults by email.
Yeah,
especially like right now with
coronavirus
shit going on.
Can't really meet up with everybody.
We gotta limit the amount of people in the shop, and I'm not very great at emailing, to be honest. I'm just like, okay, cool, send me a picture and let's do it. 90% of the work that I do is in the actually physically tattooing it.
Totally.
So I you know, I show them like the rough kind of like sketch. I'm like, something like that.
Yeah,
and they're
totally.
Like, but is there gonna be shading, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, there will be.
So in terms of like exciting things that are up and coming, do you have any tattoos you're going to receive or give that you're super stoked about?
As for myself getting tattooed, I think I'm gonna take a break.
Okay.
Because this last, like in the winter, I just got tattooed so many times.
Multiple artists or?
Yeah. And they were in like really painful spots too.
Ooh,
so
which, like what were
all my ribs, okay. Like when I got tattooed by Nelson and then I got tattooed by Caroline, my coworker.
Oh yeah, of course.
I've seen her stuff.
I have.
She is so fucking talented. I got
what did she do?
Little burb.
Oh cool.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
She's so good at color. Like
gosh,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What style? Illustrated? Like what would you call that?
Yeah, so I'd say illustrative. Yeah,
almost neo-trad, but not
quite. But not like as, not as like cheesy, you know? Totally. She had her own thing going on.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I think I need to take a break from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I just want to thank you so much for inviting me into your home and sitting down with me at 6 feet away and having this socially distant conversation. And I just wish you all the best in terms of, you know, this upcoming year and with all the strange COVID, you know, protocols. And then moving forward, you know, traveling plans and all that, like, you know, be really cool to see where you take your career. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Join me next time for an interview I did through online conferencing with Danny, also known as Tweed and Soot, who is working in Los Angeles at Dylan Forte's shop, Shriyantra. We chatted about the North African symbology she uses in her ritual hand poke and intentional machine work, which stems in part from the mix of African and indigenous art found in her household growing up. In this interview, she shares her story of learning hand poke at a Filipino tattoo shop, the inspiration she gained for her art from her time living in Brazil, and her aspirations to move deeper into creating a sacred space for clients seeking hand poke for healing, among other things. Tune in next time. Take care.
Spending all my money just to get tattoos. Don't you tell my mama or she'll get the blues. Let's just see how far my tattoo funds go, so I can do this.